always richer, deeper, fuller, sweeter, oh, sweeter, sweeter, sweeter as the days go by. Oh, we get sweeter as the days go by. Well, we get sweeter as the moments fly.
Stop now if I try.
Well, it gets sweeter.
My love gets sweeter as the days go by.
Yes, it gets sweeter.
It gets sweeter as the moments fly.
Well, his love is richer, deeper. Somebody say it's the truth. It gets sweeter as the days go by. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them it gets sweeter every day that you live. Play some more of it, guys. Sing it, sing it.
His good grace he gave me. He placed his love down deep in my heart. There's great joy in knowing to him I am going, and nevermore from him to depart.
Yes, he gets sweeter as the days go by. Lord, he gets sweeter as the moments fly. Say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now give Jesus one big hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord today? How many of you enjoyed service here last night? Was the word of the Lord outstanding? Was the word of the Lord outstanding? Amen. Well, we're here today. And guess what? It's going to be outstanding again today. We come not to church, but we come to have church. Praise the Lord. It's good to see all of you. I'm going to let you be seated while we look at our prayer request. Have some needs this morning we want to let you know about. This is a sister, and the Lord has a very special and spoken prayer request the Lord knows all about. Brother Daniel, if you come, be getting ready this morning. Brother Don Riddleball wants to thank the Lord For all of you that have been praying for his wife, Sister Lisa, been battling severe stomach viruses with sinus problems. She woke up this morning feeling a renewed strength with few symptoms. Thank the Lord. Continue to pray for a full recovery. So we just thank the Lord that he's touching her sister. Believe he's going to bring her all the way in. Amen. Brother Wes Willis' father passed away this morning a little after 5. So we certainly want to pray for that family, that the Lord would just be with them during this time. Also, we want to remember the family of Brother Robert Dickinson, who passed away, a faithful soldier in the Lord. And arrangements are on the bulletin. Well, I'll never forget a sermon Brother Dickinson preached many times over in the old building. But one message in particular: stay in the ship. Stay in the ship. If you want to be saved, stay in the ship. That still applies even today. If you want to be saved, stay in the ship. Because this ship's going to get us safely through. Do you believe that with all your heart? So let's pray for that family. Brother Brett Lawson wants to thank you for praying for his brother Ben. Just continue to pray for him, that the Lord would bring him from this sickness. Also pray for his mother. She's not feeling well enough to be in this service today. So let's remember those needs as we pray. Brother Philip Elliott wants us to remember the family for a young girl. I work with her father, flipped their vehicle about 15 times and was killed. She was only 17. Her brothers were in the wreck. If that's the same one that was in the newspaper, they're being treated at the Johnson City Medical Center. I don't know the severity of their injuries, but let's remember that family as we pray today. Sister Teresa White asking for prayers for her father, Charles Sims, who's not been feeling well. So let's remember that need. Brother Wes and Jess Gilbert says that a very special unspoken prayer request. The Lord knows all about that need. We just commit that to the Lord. Sister Joanne Tessa says, my precious brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to give God all the glory for healing me. I want to thank each of you for your prayers and your love. I love you all. So we appreciate that testimony this morning. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need today, you believe God's able to meet your need. Somebody say, I believe it with all my heart. Somebody say, I believe it with all my heart. Let's stand, if you will. Brother Daniel, come this morning. Lead us to the Lord. We just commit these things unto the Lord today.
Amen. Brother Lee, talking about sermons, I remember years ago he preached one, and the title of it, he had two titles, really. It's according to what you say it. It was Zeal, What Zeal? Or Zeal, What Zeal? It was according to how you said it. You know, we can have a whole lot of zeal if we got God in our hearts. But if we don't have him, we might be asking that question, what zeal? Something to think about. We thank God for what he means to us. Let's take these needs to God in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we love you so much, God. Thank you for what you mean to us, Lord. Thank you for the service that we was in last night. For God, we know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickednesses in high places. And God, we know that the devil is on a rampage. God, that he's trying to destroy us and tear us down. But God, that you said that you came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll help us. Lord, that we'll look unto you, the author, the finisher of our faith. And God, we bring our needs, our petitions before your throne this morning. God, we pray that you'll move to heal, to save, to deliver, knowing that there's no distance in prayer. God, over the internet, whoever it might be, we pray that your hand will go forth this morning. And God, that you'll move for the congregation, for the people. God, we pray for our pastor, Brother Donnie. Lord, that you'll anoint him. God, we pray for each visitor that's among us today. God, that you'll bless them. And as they go to the home after the service, God, we pray that you'll give them travel mercies. Lord Jesus, we just pray now that you'll help us to get out of the way. Lord, that your spirit will go forth and move to the ministry. And God, we'll be careful to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you. Amen. Amen. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting with us in this service today, we certainly want to welcome you here. Glad to have you. How many visitors do we have in the building this morning? Would you just raise your hand if you're a visitor here this morning? Let's give our visitors a nice hand. God bless you. Glad to have you here this morning. All those that are streaming the service today, I pray this service will be a great blessing to them also. These services mean a lot to a lot of different people that you'll never see in this world. But we'll see them again sometime. Well, we'll see them sometime, won't we? Praise the Lord. Let's sing a song this morning. You know, earthquakes going on right now all around the place, all around the world. All kinds of confusion. All kinds of leaders making all kinds of decisions. Ain't none of them right, but they're still making decisions. But I'm glad for one thing. I'm glad there was one thing that was decided. He said, I will come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I believe he's coming back like he said. How many of you, the rest of you, do you believe that with me this morning? I believe he's coming back like he said. I believe the trumpet's gonna sound so loud. He'll resurrect the dead. Let's sing this little chorus this morning just before we change the order of the service. Got some specials here this morning. Are the Weeks family here? Are they here today? Now, these are real people. Joel Yance was questioning my intelligence last night that I had made this up. But these folks got lost on the way to church and ended up somewhere else. But I don't know if they made it for service, but they're here today. And they go to Brother Charlie Spencer's assembly over in Virginia. They're here. I want them to come onto the platform and be getting ready to give us a song this morning, if you will. Just come onto the platform. You can be seated over here. Then I think that Brother Timothy Rivas, he's back with us this morning. Brother Timothy, you come on to the platform. And I think Sister Cindy, Sister Anna, and Sister Lish, Alicia Bab have a song for us. Now, there's not enough room. Y'all just stay there. We'll get you. Brother Timothy, you can come. There's room for you. We'll get these sisters up here. We're going to try to work three songs in. I believe we can do it. How many of you appreciate the specials we heard last night? Wasn't it good? Amen. And so we're glad to have all of you here at this service. Let's sing this little chorus together this morning. I pray that if you're dry and dusty and need a real good refreshing, a real good shower from the Lord this morning, I pray it'll rain all over you. I pray you'll get what you're looking for. I'm going to tell you something. There's deliverance if you'll believe God. I want to say this morning. This is in regard to my daughter-in-law. We were just talking about this the other day. Jennifer has made a 300, and she's told me this. She said, Louie, I wish I could tell everybody what God has done for me. You may be bound by different things. You may have a drug addiction. You may have all sorts of addictions in your life. But I want to tell you something. That morning that my daughter-in-law stood right here at this altar, I listened very carefully to the words that our pastor prayed. And he adjured Satan to loose his hold on Jennifer Blevins. And that morning, God totally 100% delivered her from drug addiction. Totally 100%. She don't mind me saying this because it's her testimony. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. You talk about a home that's been transformed. Little children's lives that's been transformed. An individual, Jennifer, our daughter-in-law, whose life has been transformed. God took that addiction away from her at this altar that Sunday morning. You don't have to be at the altar. All you got to do is want help and believe God's big enough to give it to you. Do you believe that with all your heart this morning? Amen. Let's pray, buddy. Let it rain. Oh, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Why don't you raise your hands?
Let it rain. We need the rain.
Sister Weeks, God bless you as you come to sing for us this morning. Give them a nice hand as they sing today.
Be here this morning, and it's a real honor to have the opportunity to try to sing. We're not much singers, but we're going to try. When you hear the first message song that my wife wrote, and hope maybe be a blessing to someone, and we thank the Lord for all of His blessings. When she speaks, everybody knows she's different, for she has only good to say for all. And through the ages she has waited from the world, separated, and she's ready now to hear that bridegroom call. What a beautiful bride God has chosen. She's made ready and she's rose. In His righteousness, she is faithful to the Father. She has eyes for no other. What a beautiful bride she is. Folks may laugh and call her old-fashioned, for Satan's Eden has no claim on her soul. They don't understand she holds a key in her hand, and when she's gone, their modern world will be no more. What a beautiful bride God has chosen. She's made ready and she's robed in His righteousness. She is faithful to the Father. She has eyes for no other. What a beautiful bride she is. She is faithful to the Father. She has eyes for no other. What a beautiful bride she is.
Keeps practicing, he'll be able to play a piano for long. Certainly appreciate that. That was so good. I think Brother Rivas told me it had been like 6 years since they had been with us. He's as good now as he was then. And we appreciate him being here. Let's enjoy these sisters as they sing. Give them a nice hand as they sing for you.
In one accord, We sing praises to you, Lord, and we're needing you to touch us with your power. Send down your glory. Send down your glory. Cleanse these hands that we raise in this temple filled with praise. Send down your glory. Send down your glory. Our broken lives you can mend. If you will touch us once again, send down your glory. Inhabit our praise. Let us stand in your presence. Open the holy of holies where you dwell. Send down your glory. Send down your glory. Cleanse these hands that we raise in this temple filled with praise. Send down your glory. Send down your glory. Our broken lives you can mend. If you will touch us once again, send down your glory. Send down your glory.
If he will do that, what more can we ask for? Let's stand together today. Let's turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, verse 37. We're going to pick up in the middle of a vision which is being interpreted by Daniel. Actually, it was a dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had saw, but God shows Daniel the vision of the dream. And Daniel is now interpreting the dream to King Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel chapter 2, verse 37. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven, hath he given unto thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. Verse 38. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, the fowls of the heaven, hath he given unto thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Now remember, even though the kingdoms of the earth belong to Satan, there is a superior power that's above all of that. Yes. Verse 39, and after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces, and subdueth all things. And as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mix with the miry clay. Now when it comes down to the legs, he sees the legs that are mixed with iron and clay on down to the toes. Now, when it works its way on down, there's an eastern and a western empire. And then when it comes down to the toes itself, it's mixed. They actually never congeal together and come together in solid strength. Watch how he projects the toes. as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so that the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave to one another. Now watch what they're going to do. They're going to mingle with the seed of men, but they will not cleave one to the other, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Let's bow our heads together and pray over the word today, if you would. Heavenly Father, we are grateful today that we have been given this opportunity, that we could come together in the house of God. Thank you for the songs, for prayers that have been offered. Lord Jesus, we count it such a great privilege that we could be called your children. Now we come to what your prophet has told us is the most important part of the service. That is the hearing of the word, the breaking of the bread. We certainly have needs in our hearts and our lives today. We have personal needs. We have national needs. We have so many needs among us. We realize, Lord, you can only do for us as we will believe and accept. So we ask in that you'd help us today. Anoint us with the word, I pray. Heavenly Father, you see this prayer across the hold of my hand. Father God, we're just asking you that you'd move for little Josiah Brown. Dear God, you see this need in his body. We're trusting you, Father. May you speak to us today from your word, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to speak to you again today on the spirit world. I wanted to put up a couple of these things, but before I do, let's read here in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Now we know that God deals in very different ways than what we would think. And God shows Nebuchadnezzar this dream. But what's strange about the dream is he cannot remember the dream. Then he calls his wise men and all the soothsayers of the Chaldeans, which they had many. And he calls them and he asks them an answer. He said, look, I had a dream and I cannot remember the dream. And I want you to tell me the dream and I want you to tell me what the dream means. And they said, there's no way this can be done. We cannot do this. Well, he said, I'm going to kill you all then. If you can't do it, then I'm going to kill you. But you know, I really think when you look at it that God allowed this man to think on these terms so it would make it such an impossibility that it would have to be the power of God that would answer. So Daniel and his companions, they go before the king and they say, give us some time. Don't do this. Give us some time and let us see what God will do. And certainly it was God's plan. So God then shows Daniel the vision, Daniel being the prophet among the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they pray with him as his companions, but yet Daniel is the one who breaks into this realm and he sees this vision. So he re-sees the king's dream. Now, he not only sees it verbatim, and he brings out every point exactly the way the king saw it, but then that within itself was a miracle to be able to see somebody else's dream. But then God turns around and unfolds the interpretation of that dream to him in the form of a vision. Now, God is going to show him the four great Gentile kingdoms that will run up to the very end time. This is called, of course, in the New Testament, the times of the Gentiles, or when the fullness of the Gentiles will be fulfilled. Nebuchadnezzar is the first world ruler of the Gentiles that had reigned in this scope. So God begins with him. Now, remember, we was looking last night at the supernatural power of God and also the power of Satan, how the fallen angels are the ones who come and anoint leaders and politicians and anoint them to run into certain lines and to cause certain things to happen against the people of God. Or sometimes the angels of God can move among them and actually cause them to do certain things in a positive way for the people of God. Nebuchadnezzar was not so much a persecutor of the Jews. He was not one that really hated them. They was able to live in his dominion and be able to live a pretty peaceable type of life. They were able to worship God, but there were certain things that would come about, and it would be from the, not so much from Nebuchadnezzar himself, but from the magistrates and from the people around him who hated the Jews. Of course, they come against Daniel and made a decree that if Daniel or any other person would pray, then they would be, of course, thrown the lion's den. They made a decree about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So you can see that these demon spirits, which was over these kingdoms, would move in by the political power. They might not do it by the king himself, but they would try to undermine the people of God and pass certain laws to cause it to be difficult for the people of God. While they would do that, then the angels of God was moving on the other side, these three realms above this way. The angels of God were moving to where that they would orchestrate by the power of God, and they would war with these fallen angels, and they in turn would move on behalf of the people of God and turn some of these instances around. So what we're going to see is then that Nebuchadnezzar sees this gigantic colossus of an image. Now it is the image of a metallic man. It is actually the resemblance of a man. His entire visage and his image is made up of metals. Now these metals are going to project a particular attribute about the kings and the kingdoms by which they are going to represent. So it starts with the head of gold. So all of it now, of course, being metal, it's going to be gold and silver and brass, and it's going to come on down to iron and then iron mixed with clay. Now Nebuchadnezzar himself represents the head being of gold. Very small kingdom, very small in comparison to the shoulders and the arms and on down to the chest. But here he is, the beginning of the Gentile kingdoms. And God actually orchestrated it to where that Nebuchadnezzar would be able to come into this position. So the Gentile dominion is represented by this huge metallic man. Now what a peculiar thing it would be, but when you look at it through interpretation, it makes perfect sense. Now, the degeneration of the world powers, watch what they're going to do. They will be typed as the kingdoms. That's going to be seen. I want you to put this up so you could read it with me. The value of the metal, silver, is worth less than gold. And brass, of course, worth less than silver. And iron, worth less than brass. And clay, worth less than all of them. And the weight of the image also declines. Now, what's the value? As it comes from gold, down to silver, down to brass, down to iron, down to clay. But also what happens is that the weight of the image also declines. The specific gravity of gold is 19.5. The gravity of silver is 10.47. Of brass, 8. Of cast iron, 5. Of clay, 1.93. So this colossus is gigantic, but is top heavy. So the heaviest part of the image, as far as quality, is up at the top. Now, anybody would never want to build a house out there, would you, Brother Bill? You wouldn't want to construct something like that to where the top part is the heaviest part. You know what's going to happen, don't you? When the rock comes out of the mountain made with hands, it's going to cause a big, colossal mess. Now watch, as it goes on, the kingdoms are degenerating and they're getting farther away from character and principle and of how God was able to deal with them. So then you have this top heavy image, but look at the bottom of the way God builds his image. God starts out real wide and makes it like this and comes up this way. Total opposite of this image of a man. Praise be to God. Now the four metals of this colossus gigantic image are the representations, or they composite build up the four wide worldwide Gentile kingdoms which will be projected on the earth. Now the first one, read again with me. The first, the kingdom of Babylon. It is indicated by Daniel while interpreting the vision to Nebuchadnezzar. Thou art this head of gold. Now God wanted this to be so that we would be enlightened, not only us, but people in previous generations, that we would know who these powers are. Why? Because it is important for us to be identified in the right side. Now if you are identified in the mixture of this iron and clay, guess what? You are going to be destroyed and annihilated. So I want to know what this iron is. I want to know what this clay is so I can stay away from it myself.
Now watch then, and the second one was the Medo-Persians, which he points out in his account of Belshazzar's feast. By these emphatic words, in the night was Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom. So now you imagine that there was a demon spirit that was over a fallen angel, over the kingdom of Babylon. And whenever God got ready for this dominion to terminate or to run out, then God orchestrates it divinely so that, and it's an absolute impossibility when you look at how that the Medes and Persians come in to take Babylon. Babylon was a gigantic city built on the form of heaven. Of course, Nebuchadnezzar was never in heaven, but the one who inspired him to build it had been. So he built this city. It was a very representation of heaven itself. And it had a river which flowed right down to the middle of it. The throne was in the middle. It had hanging gardens. Had all kinds of things that actually represent heaven itself. But what they done, it was very peculiar in that Cyrus the Mede, he gets this idea. And he's conquering and he's looking. He's taken so many of the countries by storm and invaded them. But when he comes to Babylon itself, it is a city that is so gigantic, it's almost impossible for us to imagine in our minds. And you think, totally impossible to penetrate. How are you ever going to get inside this city? But almost like a supernatural intervention, Cyrus gets this idea that the river itself goes right through the middle of the city. So they've got a moat, they've got gigantic gates, they've got terrible, terrific thick walls. How are you ever going to get through it? But he gets this idea, if they could go above the city and begin to build trenches and divert the river, then they could go right underneath the city wall and come right up underneath Babylon itself. So they go way up north of where Babylon sits, and they begin to dig, and they begin to dig. Now, they don't do it all in one day, and they don't do it all at one time, but they begin to divert and make trenches by which they're able to rechannel this river. And here in Babylon, like America, is drunk on the things of the world. She's drunk on the cares of things going on, and she is so convinced that she is absolutely indestructible, and she don't even send nobody up there to check and see what all that digging going on, but they're just having a great big time. And while they're having a great big time, Cyrus is up there planning their destruction. Oh my. So they go on and on and on. And then all of a sudden, now it's ready. You know what? This demon over Babylon and over the Babylonian kingdom, no matter how much he wanted to keep in dominion, he could not do it any longer than the designated time that God had decreed, by which the Babylonian kingdom would end on this day and the Medo-Persian kingdom would begin right here and start right on down. So those demons, even though they are working under the headship of Satan, there's still a greater power way up here. Hallelujah. Now watch, and so whenever they divert the river, they march right underneath the gates and they take the entire city. Now here it was, one of the greatest empires that the world had ever known. But yet God had allocated, and he tells this dream, of course, to Nebuchadnezzar. And he begins in there, so Darius the Mede, and then they come and they take it over. Now, of course, the Medo-Persian starts out with two kingdoms, and then it goes from the Medo-Persians into the Persian side itself. And they rule and reign for many, many years, and they have a great kingdom. But there was another one in this vision. The third was the Grecian, which is mentioned in Daniel chapter 8, verses 20 and 21. The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia. Now remember, God further expounded this dream in visions to Daniel in chapter 8, on over chapter 10, if you want to study it. So God further reveals the Gentile powers that's going to come on the earth. And how did he reveal it? In the form of animals. So here God shows Alexander the Great as being, and he calls him, the rough goat, which is the king of Grecia. So then God now terminates that the Medo-Persian kingdom, it has now fulfilled its purpose, it is done. So it goes from the silver kingdom and it moves over into the kingdom of brass. The kingdom of brass, now of course Alexander the Great starts out great, it starts out very powerful, but as soon as Alexander dies, which he contracted malaria by being bit by mosquitoes in one of his conquests, then the kingdom begins to divide. Parts go to Ptolemy, part goes here to Egypt, part goes there, and it divides so it never actually remains the same after Alexander the Great. Now watch this. The kings that God determines, all the powers that be are ordained of God. It must make the devil pretty aggravated whenever he plans and works out something and spends years trying to figure it out. And God said, uh-oh, wrong man. And then God moves in and calls it to work this way and that way. Aren't you glad he's still in control? Now watch then, the fourth power that Nebuchadnezzar sees, which Daniel interprets, is referred to in Daniel chapter 9 verse 26 as the people of the prince that should destroy the city, which of course is Jerusalem, and the sanctuary. And we know this was under the Romans and Titus when he marched into Jerusalem in 70 AD. So here then are the four Gentile kingdoms that will run from the beginning of Nebuchadnezzar's domain right up to the second coming of the Lord Jesus. So this is the allotment of the Gentile kingdoms. Now in that, there will be all kinds of minor people. There will be Hitlers. There will be Mussolini's. There will be all them different ones. But they did not fit into the four major categories of the vision. Now remember, it was not Germany. It was not Italy, as far as Italians alone. But it was that fourth power, the fourth power that run right on down to the coming of the Lord Jesus. Now of course we know it's change from pagan into papal. Now here it is, but the same power, but it moves from a pagan empire to where that they have a Nero and a Constantine, and it moves over to where their leaders become popes. Oh my, Brother Donnie, don't tell me you're going that way again. I am wide open. You know what, children? The world is going to be deceived by this power. And this power, looks what it's going to do. They will never come together on their catechisms. They'll never come together on their doctrines. That's not what they're focusing on. They're going to come together under an ecumenical spirit that we're all brothers. Do you think the Protestants will ever sit down and be able to work out their differences with the Catholics? Do you think that you're going to take a Pentecostal which jerks and shouts and speaks in tongues and runs up and down the aisle and send him to a mass somewhere? No. Not by the majority of them. Absolutely not. They will never agree in points of doctrine and in theory and theology. But what they will agree in, we need to come together. We're brothers. We're all going to the same place. We're going to the same heaven. We need to lay aside our differences. We'll hold on to Mary and we'll pray to Andrew and we'll pray to this and that and the other. And y'all go ahead and pray to whoever you want to. But we're brothers. Let's march together. Don't you see the iron is mixing with the clay? The iron is going to mix with the seed of man. Will they change them all to be Catholics? Of course not. Will they change the Catholics to be Protestants? Of course not. They will remain clay, and the iron will remain iron, and the pride will remain pride. Why? Because she is not iron. She is not clay. She is the Word. Praise the Lord. So all these Pentecostal preachers and Baptists and Methodists and whatever more, they can call the Pope Holy Father if they want to. I've got one person I call Father. And that ain't the Pope. Praise the Lord. Brother Donnie, you shouldn't say that. Oh, but I should. I want you to keep free of this mixture of iron and clay. Now, Satan, as we looked at it last night, is the king of politics. And let me kind of merge together those quotes that we read last night. Political and religious and demon powers mixed together. Politics. He is the king of politics, Satan is. Three stages of his ministry makes him one person, Satan incarnate. Three stages, Antichrist, false prophet, and beast. Politics, religion, and demon power mixed together makes him the devil. Again, the political power, spiritual power, controlled by demon power. Now watch what happens. Because Satan has the access to all the governments of the world. Now I know, you know, a lot of folks will look at this and say it absolutely makes no sense. Because fascism is of the devil. Nazism was of the devil, right? Democracy is also of the devil. Communism is of the devil. An emperor is of the devil. The whole thing is of the devil. But yet they differ so much. And people think, well, if it's the devil, then they would all be of the same opinion. Oh no, he has a diversity of administrations. He has a diversity in political power, in demon power, in religious power. And the devil can be very religious, but he's got many, many millions of people that belong in his kingdom under his headship, which are infidels. He has many, many people in his kingdom which are agnostics. They don't even believe in God. And yet there's many other millions in his kingdom which are as religious as they can be. Now the devil makes an absolute fools out of those who say there is no God. You say you shouldn't say that. I reckon I should. That's the Bible. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The devil will convince people there is no God, but he don't believe that. He knows better. He will tell agnostics there is no such a thing. But you'll never find a devil that's an infidel. You'll never find a fallen angel that's an infidel. So in this conglomeration of the iron and the clay mixing together, not in any other Gentile kingdom was the word mix so identified as in this last day. Now as it moves down into the toes, and the 10 toes will reach out through the Ottoman powers in the last day, then Catholicism will be spread to every nation in the world. Look, friends, I've been to many nations of the world, and everywhere you go, you'll find them. Everywhere you go, you'll find them there. You won't find a Holy Ghost filled church casting out devils, but you'll find a bunch of creeds and dogmas. Come on, don't get quiet on me. What is it that they have mixed over the entire surface of the earth? Nearly every nation you go to, they are there. Well, praise the Lord. If I get shot for this, y'all put something nice on my tombstone, okay? Now, Brother Bram says political power, spirit power, controlled by demon power, which is the Antichrist. So we see that Satan has his kingdom in a very organized manner. And the organization by which he chooses to be able to operate his kingdom parallels exactly to the governments that are upon the earth. Now watch this again. Brother Bram said nations want to see their own way. Germany wants to see their way alone. Russia wants to see their way alone. America wants to see her way alone. It's the spirits of the nations. You find it wherever you go, you find a national spirit. Then those spirits get jealous of one another. You know what happens in churches the same way? You'll get a little clique over here that, you know, the rich clique, say. And then you've got the medium class clique. And then you got the poor people clique. Or you've got this clique and that clique. And if they're not careful, they'll get a little clique and they'll get a spirit over them. And then that spirit will get jealous of the spirit over that other clique. And before you know it, you've got them cliques fighting in church. And it ain't human beings that's doing the fighting. It's actually them demons. Come on now. You find the same thing in politics. You find the same thing in families. You take one member in the family, whether it's a boy, a girl, aunt or uncle, grandma, grandpa. You take one cantankerous, loud mouth, blabber tongue outfit that ain't nothing but a troublemaker. It'll keep that whole family tore all to pieces. Oh, some of y'all don't have those in your family? Don't tell me I got them all in mine. What is it? They get under the influence of devils. And they don't like peace. Have you ever seen people like that? That you get this situation resolved, and as soon as you do, they have already caused another mess. And you get that one resolved, and they're right in the middle of another one, and right in the middle of another one. Why? It's the spirit they are under. And it ain't the Holy Spirit neither. Well, I better hush before I get killed from within. Now watch. Brother Bam said those spirits get jealous of one another. And what do? They cause war. They cause war. That's right. Now you see, every nation is controlled by Satan. The Bible said so. He's the God of the nations. Praise the Lord. Then we find that because people do this and cause these great fusses and so forth. Now see, as long as Satan controls it, there's going to be wars and troubles and war. Go, why? He's the prince of the earth. He's the prince of the power of the air. Now let's go back to the kingdom in which Daniel is now finding himself. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. Now Satan is motivating the leaders of Persia. And they are holding back the promise of God prophetically. God said that there would come a time that the temple would be rebuilt. And the city would be rebuilt in troublesome times. Now Satan knew his concentration mainly in those days was not Gentiles as far as working against him, because there was no Gentile bride. So his main focus was the people of God's heart. And the people of God's heart in this time were the Jews only. So God focused on the Jews. He made promises of the Jews. And what was Satan trying to do? He's trying to stop the promises pertaining to the Jews from being fulfilled. So they've already allowed so many to go back now to Jerusalem. And they've allowed them to start building the temple and start building the walls and doing this. But through the political leaders that are in Jerusalem, they keep sending reports back, you know, to headquarters. Hey, they're doing this and they're doing that and they're doing something else. So the anointing of the devil was trying to stop the achievement of God among the Jews. Who was he using? Political leaders. Now the prince of Persia is now anointing these leaders and these councils to delay this and delay this and delay that. And don't let them do this. And don't let them do that. So Daniel is praying, oh God, I know it's about time for that word. Your prophet Jeremiah said 70 years. After 70 years, I'll visit these people. So he's praying and he's praying. And God dispatches Gabriel. So down comes the angel Gabriel. Down to the heavens, down to the streams of time, down into mortality. And he breaks into the realm of the prince of Persia. And the prince of Persia, once he looks at him, he realizes, uh-oh, he's come for this. Apparently they've heard about it in heaven, that I'm delaying the building of the temple. Apparently they've heard about it in heaven, that I'm delaying politically. I'm using my influence on these political leaders. You see, God had everything synchronized by time. So things had to be done in Jerusalem before the 70 years would expire. They've got to have a city to go to. They've got to have a temple to worship. So everything had to be exactly up to par. Don't you understand it's the same way with us? I'm afraid, friends, we do not understand the power that's given to us as God's people. If our United States government gets in the way of the bride reaching her perfection, I believe my God is big enough to send an angel to move on the governor's heart or the senator's heart or the Congress heart in order to fulfill his word. Amen. He will not be defeated. If we're not careful, we just accept anything and everything that the devil does. Now watch. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. Can you imagine how this fallen angel has such power? He has the ability to withstand Gabriel 21 days. But lo, Michael, which is in the Hebrew, Michale, who is like God, one of the chief or the first archangel who is described as the one who stands in time of conflict for the children of Israel. Now he is so powerful, God don't need a legion. He is so powerful that God does not need myriads of angels to stand for Israel. He has one. Glory. Hallelujah. So he is the very one that stands now in the time of trouble. So we've got an angel on the earth in this dominion over Persia. Gabriel has come down. He's come down, but he's come down into his territory. And this angel stops it. They go around and around, however it is that angels fight. I have no idea. But they go on for 21 days. But all of a sudden, out of a cloud or out of a fire, whatever it was, steps the captain of the Lord's hosts. No doubt the same one that Joshua saw. Now the angel of darkness was politically holding back the children of Israel from being able to accomplish the word. Now watch in verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was still me 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. Now listen to this. John Gill said this in the 1700s. Lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. Called in the New Testament an archangel. The prince of angels. The head of all principality and power. Who is none other than Christ, the Son of God. An uncreated angel. For these people who were fighting the message so hard, if they'd read Adam Clark, if they would read Koch, if they would read Greenbill, if they would read Gill, if they would read Luther, if they would read Wesley, they would find out there's many, 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 many things in this message that has the seventh angel come together, them loose ends together. It was not hatched out by a Kentucky prophet. It was not hatched out by somebody wanting to make a call. It is the truths of the ages that are gathered together under the seventh angel's ministry. Just in case you're wondering, John Gill was a Baptist. An undead angel who is the first of the chief princes, superior in angels in nature, name, and office. He came to help Gabriel, not as a fellow creature, but as the Lord of hosts. Not as a fellow soldier, but as general of the armies of heaven and earth. Now you imagine that little old wimpy prince of Persia. Once Mikala steps into the dimension and he realizes, whoa, man, this must be important. He sent the main man. I'm going to tell you something, children. Your salvation was so important. Your deliverance was so important. The Lord God didn't send an errand boy. The Lord God didn't send a secretary. But the Lord God came down himself. And he was willing to become flesh and die for us. Amen. As general of the armies of heaven and earth, as superior to him in wisdom and strength, he helped him by giving him fresh counsels, orders, instructions, which he following succeeded. So whatever it was that Michael did, it now releases Gabriel. And Gabriel comes down and makes the instructions known to Daniel. Now watch in verse 20. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. Now while he's been gone talking to Daniel, this prince of Persia has now found out the secret. So God wants to further his cause with the Jews. So this prince of Persia has called a political meeting. And he's got the leaders all fired up again. And they're going to come against the Jews and make it hard on the Jews. But Gabriel said, I'm going back. And we're not sipping tea. We're not going on a picnic. But Gabriel said, I'm going to fight. I like that, don't you? So you fight him and you need help to fight him and then you go do your business and then you know on the return of your business you're going to fight him back. Look, it's going to be a fight every day of your life whether you live for God or the devil. You might as well live for God and get the rewards of eternity. If I'm going to fight, I want to fight on the winning side. Knowest thou wherefore I came unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, the prince of Grecia shall come. Now watch. So now the silver kingdom is reaching its termination point. And the Grecian kingdom, the kingdom of brass, now a new demon has been chosen to be the prince of that nation. Wow. Why? Satan studied them. He studied the Greeks. He studied their makeup. And that demon that was in charge of the Persians would never work for the Greeks. Isn't it amazing the religions of the world around the world where they focus? You ever studied on it? You ever studied on the Buddhism? And I've studied it many years ago. The very foundation, and when you look at the time of it and see that the very foundation of all these religions, there was either a prophet on the earth, a prophet of God, or had been within 20-year increment of the time that they began. Isn't it amazing? Wonder why the Shintoism doesn't go over here in Tennessee. First of all, most of y'all couldn't even say it, much less spell it. I'm imagining you, Brother Bobby, being a Shinto. I'm imagining you, Brother Dan, being a Buddhist monk. Sound like they're having a kidney stone or something, don't they? Why doesn't that go over here? Because of our makeup, of the way we are. But what did Satan do? Satan gave each location a religion. Why is it that the Muslim thing so goes in the Middle East? It suits them. Brother Tony, here you go again. What? It's the truth. Ain't I supposed to preach truth no more? And Satan does what? He founds a religion that will meet the criterion of the people. Now look in verse 21. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. There is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. I hope the Lord God can say that same thing to me and call Michael my Prince Charming. Oh, glory. Notice in Daniel 12, 1. At that time shall Michael stand up, that great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. So we see Michael is a great prince. Also Jude 1:9. And Michael the archangel, the only archangel that's mentioned in the Bible. Revelation 12:7. And there was war in heaven between Michael and his angels. They fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. So Michael is a mighty prince. Notice, Brother Man said, we noticed that Satan in the beginning, in the origin, back in the initial condition, he was full of pomp. He wanted something, a better kingdom than Michael. Oh, so Michael had a kingdom. So he goes over to the north and sets up a kingdom greater and more beautiful. So Michael is a designated angel which has a kingdom. Again, he says, at that time, Michael shall stand, the great prince. Michael was Christ, of course. Now, Michael wasn't Jesus, but Christ. Praise the Lord. Michael was Christ, of course, who fought the angelic wars with the devil. Again, he says, Christ's a mystery. Lucifer in the last days is doing what he did at first. What did Lucifer do? The first thing that Lucifer done is separate the fellowship of God and man. He wanted to build him a united kingdom. Oh, a united kingdom. A greater splendor and seemingly more cultured. A greater kingdom than Michael Christ had. Again, Feast of the Trumpets. That church has been bound for the Holy by the Holy Ghost for nearly 2,000 years under martyrdom back there. Under the church ages, it's been bound. Not at the river Euphrates, but at the door of creeds and dogmas. The Holy Spirit can't work in the church because of man-made systems. Can't you see why I'm against that junk? But she's going to be liberated. Glory. She is coming back. That's what the Bible said. And those two meet one another on the battlegrounds. Lucifer and Michael again. Now watch in verse 13 of Daniel chapter 10. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. Verse 19. And he said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong. Yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened. So here an angel of God stands before this prophet and he speaks to him, be strong, be strong. And he said, when he told me that, I got strong. Just by speaking to him. Oh, may the angels of God speak to us today. I was strengthened and said, let my Lord, notice now he's not an angel worshiper, but a small L. Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Now all this is going on in the spirit world. And Daniel and the Jews that are there, the kings of Persia, they have no idea. All of a sudden the king gets up one day, or a magistrate or whatever it was, and he gets an idea. I want to persecute them Jews. I want to stand against them people. Like your boss. One day, everything's fine. You've worked there for 15 years. And one day you come into work and he looks at you and all of a sudden he looks at you with an attitude. And you can see it in his eyes. It's like you've never seen this out of this man before. And it seemed like he does everything in the world to make life hell on earth for you. You understand what happened? A demon from another realm began to move on that man. He might not even know himself. He might think, why in the world am I doing this? But remember, that's only one side of the story. There is another side. I don't think we should take all the devil's lip or all the devil's trash. I think we ought to go before God and say, God, unless I need this trial, may you send down Gabriel or Wormwood or one of them angels and move on this man's heart to deliver me of this evil. Now watch in verse 20 again, he said, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? Now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. When I'm gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. While he's been gone, this prince of Persia has been moving among the political court in the capital city while he's gone. And they're resurging an attack against the people of God. Friends, God wants us to do what we're supposed to do, but he'll take care of what you can't. Now, can you imagine Daniel saying, wait a minute, I'll go with you. Man, I'll go with you. I'll fight. Daniel was not gifted to fight that kind of fight. This is a warfare that Daniel knew nothing about. Daniel should do his part. Gabriel will do his. Watch this. Daniel, as his visitation from this angel, the problems that the Jewish community was having was the leaders in Jerusalem, which were in contact with the leaders in the capital city. But it was not so much the men. It was a demon that was putting thoughts in their mind. Remember all the enemies that Nehemiah had when he was in the city? Oh, they tried everything in the world to stop that man. Don't you see what it was? It was a demon. Don't you understand it works the same way in a spiritual warfare for you Christians? When you try to pray, when you try to read your Bible, when you try to even come to the house of God? Saints, I want to ask you. When you get ready to go to Food City to get your groceries or to Walmart, wherever it is you do you fight all hell? I mean, everywhere you... Satan's right in front of the door. I ain't letting you go to Walmart. Get away. Don't you go to Walmart. He probably wants you to go. Do you fight that kind of hell going out to old Charlie's to eat? Do you fight that kind of hell? Or you say, I'm going to pray. Satan says, what? You're going to pray? Oh, no. It causes me to go all to pieces when them saints pray. They get down. When they go to getting down, I go to shaking and trembling. And he said, I'll tell you what. Let the phone ring. Let them get a text. Let them get an email. Let them get a beep. Let them get a tweet. Let them get this. Let them get that. He won't fight you near as hard if you're going to miss church on Sunday and go up on Rome Mountain for a picnic. Or if y'all decide you need a break and you visit Dollywood. I hear it's open again. I read it in the paper today. So I guess our church attendance will start dropping on the weekend now. Does the devil really fight you and y'all packing your clothes? The devil said, don't you go to Dollywood. Don't you go. No, don't go. But if you say, we're going to church today. Oh, I got a headache. Oh, my back's hurt. Oh, my big toe. Oh, I can't go. There's no way I can go. But it's amazing. By 12 or something like that, after the singing's pretty much already passed, I'm in the pulpit. Suddenly a miracle hits you. Oh, you feel great. You feel wonderful. So you decide you're going to Asheville to the mall. Children, you're laughing at me, but if you knew how many times you've yielded to such things and you were being led by demons, not the Holy Ghost. Maybe God laid a sermon on my heart that I had studied and it was directly for you and your children, brothers. You ought to pray. You ought to pray before you just head off somewhere and say, wait a minute, Lord. Oh, we do need a break and we need to get away. But wait a minute, Lord. Is this you leading us or the devil leading us? What if God put a sermon on my heart that would deliver your daughter or deliver your son and you're not here? All because you got up on Saturday morning and got a thought. You never prayed about it. You never laid it before the Lord. You just got the thought. Ouch. Oh. Ooh. Oh my. So here's the guardian angel of the Jewish people. He must come down to help this angel. Now, I don't expect you to totally understand the direction I'm going to go. But you can just listen and be attentive. And when you can say amen. But now let us jump to the New Testament. It is clear from the scriptures that demons have their own personality. They have their own makeup. They're individuals. Even by their character by which they are chosen to go in politics, religion, or whatever it is, it's evident that they were made or created with different makeups and different types of even ability. And yet, whenever we look at them through the scripture, the Lord Jesus asked demons questions and they would answer it. Many times they would display a super intelligence that was beyond human ordinary intelligence. They would identify things that was going to happen in the future. They would be able to identify Jesus and who he was whenever the preachers of that day saying he was a devil. Right? Now, let's look at this in Matthew chapter 8, verse 28. And when he was come to the other side unto the country, the Gerasenes, there met to him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. Now, we're breaking out of the realm of politics into the realm of affliction and into spiritualism. And behold, they cried out, saying, what do we have to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? So now here these demon-possessed men, the demons out of them are saying, what have we got to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come to torment us before the time? Now they know where they're going. They know where they're going to wind up, and they know he's the one to do it. Not it amazing? Here is these demons and these men. There was not these men, of course. They were out of their mind. So where did this intelligence come from? An intelligence that identified Jesus as being the Son of God. An intelligence which was able to tell him what their end was going to be. And I'll ask you this question with that one. Who was it? Was it Father God that taught man in the very beginning in Genesis chapter 4? When man began to dig down into the earth and dig up the ores and the metals, Was it Father God that began to teach man how to make such destructive weapons that man advanced and advanced and advanced? Was it Almighty God that teach man how to make a M1 rifle or a hand grenade or a bomb? Who was it that knew the chemicals that laid in the earth and the atoms and the molecules and all of that? Who was it that knew all of that that would want man to learn this? God would have never wanted man to learn how to make a hand grenade. God would have never wanted man to learn how to make a bomb. But who was it that had a supreme intelligence above man that understood the way chemicals react? Who was it that was there when God spoke and said, let there be light? Who was it that was there and saw the nuclear fusion as God spoke his word? Who was it that was there? Satan. Watch in verse 30. There was a good way off from them, a herd of swine, many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. Yes, sir. And he said unto them, go. Wow. No screaming, no hollering, no jumping, no beating. Simply one word, go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. Which shows me that sometimes hogs have more sense than humans. Because hogs think, if I got to live a demon-possessed life, I'll kill myself. Now watch what the power of demons can do over a human body. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those, notice, which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had palsy, and he healed them. Now these are demons that are not specialists in politics. But they are demons who specialize in afflictions of the human body. So they've studied the human body after the fall. They're workless and ineffective before the fall. Man's body could not receive diseases before the fall. Man's body could not receive afflictions before the fall. But after the fall, something changed in his atoms, in his molecular structure, to where instead of having that breath of eternal life, it would be life, human life, that would repeat and live over and over again, but it could be intercepted by disease. A germ would be able to get into his body, and a cell would backslide, and a life from a fourth dimension would come on that backslidden cell, and that cell would divide and divide and divide and divide, and before long the man or the woman's got a tumor in the body. Before the fall, that was totally impossible to happen. Notice this. Matthew chapter 8 verse 16. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word. And healed all that were sick. Now look at these branch of devils. Fourth dimension devils. Which operate in the realm of torment. Now remember the word devil is a tormentor. They love to torment. You see, for those of us that are born again, it's hard for us to imagine a being wanting to give somebody cancer, to cause them untold suffering, to cause their family untold suffering, to take a father out of a home and leave a mother to raise children and children to be raised fatherless, you know, and that go on and on and on. We cannot imagine a being that would think in that way, that would cause a man or a woman to become addicted to smoking cigarettes. And then they become so addicted, then all kinds of things start happening to their body. Then they get where that they can't walk, they can't move, all kinds of organs in their body are failing. And then that devil, that same devil that afflicted them, once life goes out of that body, does it say, well, I fulfill my role? He looks for another one. He looks for a teenager at school that's under peer pressure about smoking. And the devil that lived in that man for 50 years now gets in a 14-year-old boy. Why? To do the same thing over and over and over again. I hate the devil. Oh, what'd you say? Feelings are mutual? Well, good. I'm glad you didn't say you love me, because that'd make me feel really bad. Now watch what these demons have the ability to do. Many times, and Brother Branham would call people out that was blind. He would go to the very cause of that blindness and say, you devil that has bound that optical nerve. So here a demon comes from the fourth dimension. Enters into a person's body, not their soul. Enters into a person's body, wraps himself around that optical nerve, and shuts off the life flow to the eye. And the person goes blind. Now, apparently that devil is not a prince. Apparently he's not a great political spokesman. He's just a bind an optical nerve devil. Low class devil. Come on now. Not a man or a being of great ability to speak, but he goes into a child's body. And there he stays for years and years. Never leaves that child, but he binds that optical nerve. Unless, of course, the mom or daddy want her taught in the word, and they take that child to a man of God. Then all of a sudden, the home of that devil, there's a sign put up on the front door. No vacancy. Watch in Matthew 9:32. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. A dumb man. Now he couldn't speak. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. What was it? A demon grabbed a hold of either his vocal cords or blocked between his mind and his ability to frame the words. And it kept him for years and years. But when Jesus made the devil leave, the hindrance was gone. And maybe the man starts saying, Jesus. 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 Mama, daddy. Why? The devil had left. Now watch this. Mama. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. The multitudes marveled. Wow. Can you believe this? Saying it was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he cast out devils through the prince of the devils, and I'm putting it up on my website. I'm making a YouTube video about this Jesus. Now you imagine the devils in this other dimension. If they laugh, they are holding their sides. You gotta be kidding me. These preachers, they are so dumb. This has never been done in history. And they are thinking we're doing it. So we're casting out our comrades. The Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils, which of course was Satan. So here is Satan casting out Satan. Satan, in the name of Satan, leave him. I command you, I'm Satan. I mean, I know he's nuts, but he ain't that far gone. But here was devils that looked at him and said, Son of God, have you come to torment us before the time? I've looked and I've searched. I ain't found many things that devils are scared of. But I do know by searching the scripture and searching the message. They are scared of light and they are scared of exposure. There's something about them being exposed that makes them feel vulnerable, and they get scared. So you watch a prophet of God then with a gift like that, how it exposes him. You watch any ministry that exposes the devil, and you watch Satan attack that ministry above all others. Why? Because he hates to be exposed. He cannot stand it. It drives him nuts. He goes all to pieces. He cannot stand to be exposed. Which means I've got to do it more. If it drives him nuts, if it makes him a nervous wreck, my, if that's what he can stand, my brother, let's expose that devil. Let's expose him for what he is. What about it, brothers? Watch this. Brother Bram says, look, friends, demons recognize God's power sometimes before ministers do. And Christians. How sad. That a Christian would see God do something supernaturally. And they would look at it and say, that's the devil. But don't be too hard on us. Probably most of us have done it one time or another. Come on now, don't sit there and look at me with your wings all spread out. We're too crowded today for everybody to put your wings out. How many times have we heard somebody speak in tongues or see them shout or maybe hear them scream a little bit and it ain't the way we like to do it. So it's, I wonder about that. I wonder if they're in the flesh. You better be careful what you say. Just pray for them. God help me. I don't want to say nothing against you, Lord. I may not understand it. That may not be the way I go about it, but help me, Lord, to be sensitive. Calling the works of God is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. So if the work of God is shouting somebody and they're dancing maybe a little bit out of the way you generally don't dance, that don't mean that that ain't the Holy Ghost because they don't dance your style. Watch. Matthew 12:22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him. Insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. So this devil is working two manifestations at the same time. He's blind. He's either grabbed a hold of an optical nerve or he's caused cataracts, a growth to film over this individual's eyes and he can no longer see. And he's grabbed a hold of the vocal cord of the larynx or something. He's grabbed a hold of something there and he's working a twofold manner. But here comes Michael. Now his name is Jesus. Different act requires a different costume, which requires sometimes a different name. So one time you come out Michael and then you go back in. Next time you come out, you're Jesus. Next time you come back out, you're Michael again on a white horse. And then you come back in. Next time you come out, you're sitting as a king at a table. Next time you go in, you come back out, you're sitting way up on the throne of God. And Father God is hanging right above you. It's the very same God all the time, just playing different parts. Watch this in verse 23. And all the people were amazed and said, is this not the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, Brother Branham cast out devils through the KKK. He was a witch secretly. You're dumber than a hog. Huh? This fellow does not cast out devil, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts. And said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. Watch in chapter 15, verse 22, and we'll close. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Look at the meaning of this word. Possessed with devils. To be under power of a demon. In the New Testament, these are persons afflicted with especially severe diseases, either bodily or mentally, such as paralysis, blindness, deafness, loss of speech, epilepsy, melancholy, insanity, and whose bodies demons had entered and so held possession of them as not only to afflict them with this, with these ills, but also to take throne and take place in themselves. But he answered her not a word. Boy, it shows she wasn't in the message. She'd have never come back. You imagine? You come to Jesus, you open your heart. Lord Jesus, I have such needs. My daughter's grievous effects of the devil. Jesus never even looked at her. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Brother Branham says this woman had so much faith, Jesus himself couldn't run her off. That's the kind of person I want to be, Brother Junior. I keep holding to his word, holding to it. Donnie, I ain't doing it. Get away from me, Donnie. Leave me alone. No, Lord, I'm on your hands. No, sir, I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving till you move for me. I'm not moving till you deliver me, Lord. So even after the worship, she worshiped, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Bless God, get the kids. Can we get our tithes back out of the offering basket this morning? I'll never come back here again. He looked me right in the face and called me a bow wow. How in the world can these people think this preacher's got any sense at all, calling people dogs?
But you imagine, she just stands there. In her heart, she says, you're not running me off.
Amen. That's the way you ought to be wherever it is you go to church. Wherever God's revealed to you, that's your church and that's your pastor. You should let nothing come between you. Nothing. Nothing. No, sir. Lord. And she said, I'm on my way out of here. I'll never come back again.
She said, truth, Lord. If the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table.
Then Jesus answered and said unto her, oh, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee. I want you to notice how he changes this now and places her daughter's deliverance at her will. Oh, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. How do you want it to happen, Hattie? What do you want? Say it.
And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. You know why? Because the mother willed it so. Let's stand. Can you imagine when he was here? I don't understand myself how demons view such things. You'd think that with him being here, they'd want to hide. But with him here, there was more physical manifestation in the first four Gospels than there was in the entire canon of Scripture in the Old Testament. For hundreds and hundreds of years. But it's like his presence
brought that manifestation out. They couldn't help it. Was it their fear? Was it their anxiety? Were they just so tore up and so nervous that they just told on themselves? I kind of like the thoughts of knowing the devils are scared of something, don't you? Can you imagine, friends? In this world that we live, the lid has been tore off the kettle. Satan has emptied out in every direction. Demon power streaming in every direction. So many going to the regions of the lost that hell hath enlarged their mouths. Never before has it been like it is now. It's terrible in the days of Noah. Terrible in the days of Sodom. But remember, the sodomy that we talk about so much in the Bible, it was basically located in three or four cities. Sodom and Gomorrah and the three or four small outlying cities in that place. It was not global. It was not worldwide. How many millions of babies? How many millions of babies have we aborted since our Supreme Court said it was a woman's right? Oh, I know. I know it's not politically correct. I don't care. It's murder. It's murder. God will make our Supreme Court justices who made that decision answer at the day of judgment. Every doctor, every clinic, all that, it'll all answer. It may go unseen to the eyes of the world, but God's keeping a record.
Amen.
What did it? Demons. Demons. They've been released from that dimension to penetrate into people's minds, to change people's thinking about marriage, to change their thinking about so many things. Thank God for His grace. Lest we would be caught up in this out here too. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, as we stand here today, dear God, we thank You that You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, we know that in this age that we're living, Satan is pulling that threefold cord together like never before, and it will not be easily broken. Through religious power, he's getting the preachers in the pulpits and the authors, the Christian authors and Christian songwriters. They're all heading for a unity. We hear it even in many of the songs today. It's a unity of why they can't live right and why they can't overcome. It's songs about not victory really and deliverance, but songs about excuses. Our bookshelves and the Bible bookstores are full of books of why people can't live right. Lord, it's the ecumenical thing that must come upon the earth. There's no more right and wrong, as we said last night, no more black and white. But everything is gray. Can't tell what's right, what's wrong. Wrong merges into right. Right merges into wrong. It's the precursor of that pale horse rider. That grizzled collar of no longer dividing what is true and right. But in spite of it all, there is a bride on the earth. We know, Lord, as a young man in the Old Testament, as he would take a bride, the friend of the bridegroom would go and speak on his behalf. Sometimes his father, sometimes a friend. And he would go speak to the father of this bride or her guardian. And he would say, my friend, my nephew, my son, whatever he is, interested in taking your daughter for a wife. If they agreed, they would enter into what they called a betrothal, which we call today an engagement. They would come together, the bride-to-be, the groom-to-be. They would actually write out a document on skins. They would sign this document and drink a cup of wine. Generally, they would go at least a year to make sure the woman was not with child. And the words that would have been said between them was, according to the law of God and the law of Moses, I sanctify thee unto me. So here the husband would say this and the bride would counter answer back. According to God and the law of Moses,
I sanctify myself unto thee. So she was set apart from all men. He was set apart from all women. And your bride today is still set apart. While the world is mixing and mixing and mixing, the bride is set apart. Not by our own creeds, not by our own ideas, but set apart by your word. Demons fight us. They war against us. But Lord Jesus, we know you will give us strength. May you help us today. Every man, woman, boy, or girl, in the sound of my voice. Those that are here this service, in Africa, in France, Switzerland, Lord God, wherever they are, may you strengthen them. As the angel Gabriel spoke to Daniel, and he received strength, may the angels of God minister to your bride around the world. Grant it, Lord God. Brother Ram tells us in 1953, that maybe your glorified body is standing right here near you this morning, wanting to send a charge through you like a battery. Can you imagine your glorified body in another dimension wanting to come near you? Why? To minister to you. Remember, it's not promised that all people have angels. Only the elected.
Amen.
Jesus said, their angels do always behold the face of my Father. You have an angel, your own angel. And then you have angels who watch over you. Friends, don't be afraid to pray. Don't pray to the angels, of course. But ask God to send them to intervene for us. Like they did for Daniel and the Jews. You believe he loves you just as much? Just as much. So what do you have need of today in your heart, in your life? Is it physical? A demon bound a part of your body where you can't walk? Has a spirit got into your brain and affected you with Alzheimer's or dementia? Has a spirit got into your kidney or into your colon or a devil that's there? And the doctors have done this and that and the other and give you medication after medication? We know what that is. We thank God for all of that. We're grateful that they can help relieve the symptom. But tell me, what can a pill do to ever relieve a devil grabbing a hold of your optical nerve? It can't. But I believe the presence of the Lord Jesus is right here today. That same one that cast out devils and the blind saw and the dumb talked and the lame walked. Whatever you have need of, would you hold that in your heart? And I want you to, if you would, lay your hand on the person standing by you. Now don't you take on that devil. Don't you challenge it. You're just going to offer prayer. Lord, as we stand here today, no doubt there's hundreds of needs among these people. I know there's sicknesses and afflictions. We're grateful, Lord, for all that doctors can do. We're thankful for surgeries and nurses and nurse practitioners and medicines and all of that. Before there was ever a Johnson City Medical Center, there was the Lord Jesus. Before there was ever a Sycamore Shoals or any of these hospitals and fine places that we have, your back was beat so that we could be healed. Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus. Help us in this warfare, Lord. These mothers and fathers, maybe a devil's grabbed a hold of their children. A devil of drinking. A devil of drugs. He's afflicted that part of the human body that can become addicted. We see it so prevalent in this age that we live. Lord God, may they reach out to that son, that daughter today. Maybe they got some that's backslid, Lord, and they're so burdened for them, dear God, because the hours are so close. Lord Jesus, whatever their needs are. Maybe someone here today bound with cigarettes, bound with alcohol, bound with drugs or pornography or whatever it be, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Lord God, I don't know exactly how it works, but all I know is you said in your word, if any two on earth agree as touching any one thing, it shall be done. You said you have asked nothing in my name but hitherto ask that your joy might be full. You also said if you delight yourself in the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. You give us the desires of our hearts. You also said if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then ask what you will. You also said in my name they shall cast out devils. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, may the Spirit of God move among this congregation today, Lord.
You've not only purchased our soul, but Heavenly Father, you have also let that blood drip upon the dirt of the ground there which represented our bodies. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, the angel of the Lord would walk among us today and bring healing virtue. If an angel could move upon a pool of water and people could be healed by stepping in that pool of water, what about a son or daughter of God that believes in the infallible power of the Word of God? Lord Jesus, encourage your children today. Strengthen those that are weak, Lord. Deliver those that are oppressed. Satan, I say to you, you are defeated. You and all of your imps and your powers out of hell, you are defeated. Jesus Christ defeated you 2,000 years ago. You have no claim on us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah to the Lamb. Lord Jesus, let your anointing move upon your people, Lord, and anoint their face. I pray, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, tell what I want you to do. Brother Branham said when God made the promise to Abraham that he was going to be the father of many nations, he said Abraham watered that promise every day with praise. So God gives you the seed, then God sows that seed in your heart. Then it's your responsibility to water that seed with praise every day. I'm healed. I'm delivered. My needs are going to be met. Financially, God's going to move for me. Oh, but Brother Donnie, what if it gets worse? It don't make a bitter difference. You water it every day until you see the physical manifestation of that promise in your life.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let's worship him a little bit now before we go eat our second lunch. Which I can done tell you ain't going to be near as good as the one you just had. We got a couple that's going to be baptized today, if they'll come and prepare for that. I'm going to tell you, there's a couple that gave their heart to the Lord Jesus right here last night in this altar when we was praying for different needs. Oh, I tell you, that makes me so rejoice. Oh, thank God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Can you imagine the angels were rejoicing in heaven when those two gave their heart to God last night? Brother John, y'all come prepare for the baptism. Hey, what are we going to sing? Praise the Lord.
Oh, he touched me.
Thank you, Lord. Good choice.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
He touched me.
Let's sing it now as we worship him together.
And oh, what joy that floods my soul. Wonderful happened, and now I know he touched me,
Lord,
and made
hallelujah.
Me whole.
Praise God, sing the first verse.
I was shackled,
remember,
by a
heavy, shackled by a heavy burden.
Touch me.
Yes.
I
to do? What are you going to do, children? Whoa! Raise your hands as we sing it.
Oh, he does.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, make love to the children. Make love to the Lord Jesus. You ready? He touched me. Oh, he touched me. Yes, Lord. And Lord.
You know, it's special every time I get to come in there. Baptize somebody. But this one here. This is my daughter, Lise. And you know, she's been wanting to get baptized. And she said, Daddy, I just don't think I can get in front of those people. But you know, so I said, well, we're going to wait then. The other day she said, Daddy, I can do it. I just want to get baptized. So we just believe that the Lord is doing a work in our life. It's a start. We always want to start here.
Right.
And we go from here.
Right.
You bring them up in the way that they should go. You teach them everything you know. The pastor at home, the mama at home just raises them up. And from here, we dedicate our little life to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that He's going to fulfill what He said He would fulfill, which was to fill her with the Holy Ghost. That's the greatest thing that could ever happen to a child. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we're standing in this water today, Father. Lord, I don't know how I could express the thank you, Lord, that I feel in my heart. We're so glad, Father God, that we're here today and doing this momentous occasion, Lord. And Father, we believe with all our hearts, Father, that you're still God and you still move, and you're still working on little hearts, Lord. And Lord Jesus, as long as there's a desire there, that it proves with all the wickedness that's in this world and all the evil that is pressing in. Father, you're still moving. You're still saving souls. You're still wanting to bring your children in, Lord. And we know that there's not much time left. But Lord Jesus, we want to gather in everyone. Lord, we will not leave a hoof behind, Lord. We're not leaving anything that belongs to here in this world. And we claim them all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, as I put her under this watery grave, Lord, may she come up, Lord. And Lord, may you fill her with the Holy Ghost. And Lord Jesus, we know it's a process. We know, Lord, it starts out small. But Father God, may it grow in the fear and the admonition, Lord. And may she develop, Lord Jesus, into a true daughter of God. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Elise, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Julia, you know, I just been over 10 years ago, her mom and dad stood right here and dedicated her little life to the Lord. Her mama's moved to Georgia, and something, the Lord's been moving on her heart, and she wanted to get baptized. So her mama brought her all the way back up to Tennessee to get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, we're going to baptize her. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, you see her little life. Lord, I can't help but get emotional. Seeing, Lord Jesus, that whenever we pray, Lord, there's no distance, Lord, too great to fulfill the promise. There's nothing, Lord Jesus, that can stop your word from manifesting in a little life, Lord. That's predestined to follow in your footsteps, Lord. So I believe, Lord Jesus, that Sister Julia comes here in this water. She's wanting to serve you and to live for you, Lord. She's repenting. I talked to her, Lord. She says she repented and she believes, Lord Jesus, that the Holy Ghost is a gift, Lord Jesus. It's not something she has to really try for or work for, Lord. It's a gift. It's a free gift, Lord. And I pray that it would be in her little life, Lord, as she grows. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would just help her to be a little light wherever she goes, Lord. So we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Julia, I'll baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
So appreciate the privilege to be together this weekend. Amen. All the visitors that's been with us, we ask God's blessings on you. Let's sing together, Love Lifted Me, before we go. Trust you enjoyed the word today. It's been a help to you. May God give us strength and help us. See you Wednesday night. Let's sing it as we go together. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. Sinking to rise.
Live, ever his praises ring.